So here's something you don't see very often. Northern Ireland has become a key issue in the UK's general election campaign. The Labour leader, Jeremy Corbyn, has faced repeated questions over his position on IRA violence and past links to Sinn Féin during the Troubles. Here's Jeremy Corbyn during last night's election special on Channel 4 and Sky News.
I wanted dialogue in Northern Ireland during the 1970s and 1980s. I did make contact with Sinn Féin when they were not allowed to travel, their leadership was not allowed to travel to Britain, for example. I wanted there to be a process. And that peace process came about by the actions of people such as John Hume, such as Gerry Adams, such as David Trimble, who eventually brought about the ceasefires with both governments, both the Conservative and later with the Tony Blair-led Labour government. And that brought about the Good Friday Agreement, which respects all the historical traditions of Ireland, which is obviously fundamental to bring about peace. And I think we should all be pleased that we've achieved a great deal through the Good Friday Agreement.
Well, Ken Livingstone is with us this morning. Good morning to you, former London Hi. Mayor. Morning, Ken. You were a long-time ally of Jeremy Corbyn. You shared his views in Ireland, a lot more as well. Do you accept he and you got it badly wrong?
Well, not really. We were having about twice a year horrific bombings in London, killing lots of people. And you had Mrs. Thatcher saying that it's nothing to do with politics, these are just criminals and psychopaths, and she refused to negotiate. And the first time I met Gerry Adams, the first thing he said was, we know the IRA will never defeat the British Army. We have to have a negotiation. We're ready to negotiate. Tragically, 14 years went by before we had a Prime Minister with the courage to do that, and another 1,000 lives were lost because of that refusal to negotiate.
Clear this up for me so that we can move on from this. Do you condemn what the IRA did?
I condemn every act of violence.
It's not my question.
What we wanted to do was to bring an end to it, and that meant you had to talk. I mean, if you go back, I was leader of the GLC, these horrific bombings were going on. But of course, we always condemn them.
Yeah, condemn every act of violence is not addressing my specific question. Do you condemn specifically what the IRA did?
Well, if you bother to go back and check, you'll see I did when each of those bombs went off. How would anyone not?
So you don't support the IRA?
Of course we didn't support the IRA. What we wanted was to see an end to the violence, and that meant negotiating with them.
But was the solution that you supported and Jeremy Corbyn supported, Ken, not effectively an IRA victory?
No.
Let the British state be pushed into acceding to all of their demands. British withdrawal, Northern Ireland expelled from the UK, troops out.
Yeah. Yes, they are opening demands were, I mean, clearly never going to be achieved. They effectively had to make a compromise, and everybody did in that. Who would ever have thought you'd live to see people like Gerry Adams sitting down talking? I mean, I'm getting on quite well with people like Ian Paisley. Inconceivable back in the 80s, but tragically it could have happened a lot earlier.
I think what people are asking questions around now is the prospect of a possible future Prime Minister who saw Northern Ireland as an illegitimate statelet and who didn't believe in the principle of consent.
Well, the real problem was you had decades of discrimination against the Catholic minority in Northern Ireland. That's what fueled the eruption of violence and chaos eventually. And you couldn't, was there ever a Catholic admitted to the police force in Northern Ireland? I can recall people being given three-bedroom council houses. They happened to be Protestant, whilst Catholic families with four or five or more kids being denied housing. I mean, it was almost in a way like the way that blacks were treated in the deep south of America.
Ruth Dudley Edwards joining us this morning as well. The commentator. Your reaction, Ruth?
I'm afraid Ken needs to brush up his history a bit, The business about council housing, for instance, is taking one particular story which was of huge significance when Austin Currie got involved and making it general. But that isn't so much the point. Let's just take what he just said about Catholics and the police force. The reason there were so few Catholics in the police force was that they were particularly targeted by the IRA, who used to deliberately kill them and intimidate them, especially in order to ensure that Catholics were terrified to join the police force. So, you know, if he didn't know that, I'm surprised and rather alarmed. But that is the truth of the matter. Ken, I want to make a distinction between Ken Livingstone and Jeremy Corbyn and indeed John McDonnell. Ken Livingstone was mayor. He was a more pragmatic politician. He had experience of running something. And he was pro-IRA, but he wasn't as reckless as Corbyn and McDonnell. He wasn't always turning up at contentious events to celebrate IRA murders.
Well, Ken has made it clear this morning he was not pro-IRA.
Oh, well, look, I lived in London under Ken Livingstone. I know that he was pro. We just listened to it all the time.
Do you want to respond to this,
he was,
Ken?
As I say, more, he was more careful than McDonnell.
And Ken, do you want to respond?
He wasn't as reckless as McDonnell and Corbyn. But
let's let
no
Ken respond to that, Ruth. One second.
He liked knocking
let's
around
let Ken respond.
With the likes of Adams.
We need to let
McGinnis.
Ken respond.
Well, look, the simple fact is, there was no difference between the position that John McDonnell and Jeremy Corbyn and myself were taking. And it's now, oh, Ken wasn't so bad as the others. I mean, all we've had throughout this election campaign is lies and sneers about Jeremy rather than have a serious discussion about the issues. And that's what's wrong with our politics now. It's also negative and dishonest.
Well, can I come in on this, Stephen?
Of course.
I mean, my difficulty with this is, you call it smears. For his entire political career, his entire time in the public, Jeremy Corbyn has always been ferociously anti-West, anti-American. He will favour anybody who hates Americans. So, therefore, he is friends with all sorts of, I mean, Hamas, Hezbollah, Assad, Iran, fine, where they hang gays, Putin, Palestinian terrorists, and the IRA. It doesn't matter. He hates America. That's the old Marxist position. So this isn't yesterday, you know. John McDonnell in 2003 said he honoured those involved in the IRA's armed struggle. He backed the bombs and the bullets.
He apologised for that, didn't he?
2003. It's very troubling. It is extremely troubling for anybody who knew anything much about what happened in Northern Ireland and indeed on the streets of in England and some in Europe, the blood that was shed in the name of the IRA.
What would your concern be of
somebody like that considered a possible prime minister?
Well, what would your concern be in this present day for Jeremy Corbyn being prime minister, Ruth, in the context of Northern Ireland?
Are you asking me or Ken?
Yes, Ruth.
I think it's deeply alarming and appallingly offensive to all the people who suffered. I mean, it's an absolutely dreadful thing. This is a man who voted 56 times about the extension of any powers over terrorism to the security forces. I mean, he has never been on the side of law and order. One of his recent quotes from an interview was, when he was wriggling a bit and saying he hadn't really supported the IRA, he said, there were civilian deaths, which is wrong. So, you know, in other words, it was fine to kill policemen, it was fine to kill British soldiers. It was kind, judges presumably were fair game, in other words, legitimate targets. But if it was civilians, oh well, you know, especially in the light of Manchester, that's not a very good thing. It's appalling. It's absolutely terrifying. You're talking about the possibility of a prime minister who is on the side of those attacking the British state and the servants of the British state.
Okay, Ken?
I mean, Jeremy's not on the side of people attacking anybody. What he has consistently done is oppose us getting involved in America's wars, which have been completely counterproductive. I mean, you know, we overthrew and got rid of Saddam Hussein, but it's the worst state today. I mean, we had the getting rid of Gaddafi, and it's been chaotic ever since. America's been interfering all the way around the world. I suppose Jeremy and myself, our first campaigning was against the war in Vietnam. Yeah. I mean, America has always been pursuing its economic interests with complete disregard, propping up horrible and brutal dictatorships and so on. The idea that this was a great struggle for democracy is not true. It's all about America's commercial interests.
Jerry's a listener. Morning, Jerry.
Hello, Stephen. How are you?
Go ahead, Jerry.
Stephen, I would like to speak to, as I call that lady, Ruth Dougley Edwards.
Well, her name is Ruth.
No, I call her Rude Dougley Edwards because every time she comes on the radio, she really hasn't got a clue what she's talking about. Her opening remarks there was that Austin Curry was in a house and it was only a one-off.
No, it wasn't. I didn't say that. He took up the calls.
You just said that.
I said he took up that calls of a particular case where, appallingly, a council house had been given to a single Protestant woman instead of her family.
And your next point was that...
What is your
very
point,
famous
Jerry?
Because Austin Curry took it up.
Jerry, what is your
took
point?
Up the case My and organised protests, and quite right, too.
Get a word on this, right? He does that all the time. My point is that she was saying that Austin, that particular case, became a general theme. Well, I can tell you, Ruth, I can remember going for interviews being asked what primary school I went to. You know what I mean? So there's 1,001 different incidents that happened. So you haven't a clue what you're talking about.
Okay, clearly you're not a fan, Jerry. Thank you. Ken Livingston, before you go this morning, just one, because Ruth, I know you need to go now, so thank you, Ruth. Ken, before you go, do you think Jeremy Corbyn will carry through the Labour manifesto promise on renewing Trident?
Oh, Jeremy's a natural leader of a party. He doesn't think like we had with Tony Blair or Margaret Thatcher. They just set the whole agenda. He's always been part of the debate. I think it will be a genuine cabinet that actually governs, not, you know, Blair basically ran it like a president, and to a certain degree, so did Cameron and Osborne.
So do you think
it will be a proper consensus and issues will be...
So do you think he will carry through a promise on renewing Trident that he doesn't believe in?
I mean, that's the Labour Party policy, and he's accepted that. The simple reality is I expect we're locked in now with all the contracts that have been let. There's not much you could do about it.
So your view is he will carry it through?
I don't have the slightest doubt that Jeremy will honour the manifesto that's been drawn up, because unlike a lot of Labour manifestos in the past, it's got a lot of real detail. And Jeremy's going to be focused on delivering that dramatic improvement in terms of jobs and homes for ordinary people.
Do you think Kenny's going to win?
When we started out on all of this, everyone was saying, no chance whatsoever. But I think the fact is that for the first time since he became Labour leader, because of the laws about political balance on radio and TV, people have been able to form a much better opinion of him. All we had was all the nonsense and trivia and attacks from some of his own disloyal MPs. Now the issue's been focused on what he can do to make this a better country for our children.
So do you think he's going to win?
I think he's got a really good chance, yeah.
All right. Ken, thank you. Morning to you. Morning. OK, 12 minutes to 10. Let's come back to our top story this morning. The senior DUP member, Jim Wells, tweeted at the weekend, many complaints about Sinn Féin canvassing in Rough Island yesterday. They are not welcome in this unionist town, particularly on a Sunday. Nicola Weir, our reporter, has gone down to Rough Island Town Centre. Nicola, what are people saying down there about Jim Wells' tweet?
Well, good morning, Stephen. And as you say, I'm in Rough Island Town Centre at the moment. It's actually very, very quiet this morning. And on my way here, there were no obvious trappings that this was a unionist town. Normally, you would find a lot of union flags flying on the way in and in around the town centres to denote any leanings. But I've only actually just spotted one flag on sort of the other side of the square here. And also very mixed posters up for the upcoming election from all the parties and the candidates. Now, in the 2011 consensus, Rath Ryland had a population of around about 3,000 people, and its religious makeup, Stephen, was around 60% Protestant to 40% Catholic. Now, as you said, I've been here all morning and spoken to many people who've been walking in and around the square. Now, a lot of them, Stephen, would not go on record, and as you know, that means that they don't want their voices to be used on the radio. But they spoke very freely to me off the record. One man who was standing outside a shop said he had been a farmer here all his life and had lived very peacefully with his Catholic neighbours, and that he felt Jim Wells' words would not help relations in this town. However, another gentleman said that although he believed Jim Wells should have stayed silent, he did, and I quote, get where he was coming from, as the IRA had left many families here without loved ones. Another man who was just coming out of the shop as well was very angry about what the veteran DUP man had to say this last night in his tweet. He said, and I quote, Stephen, where does Jim Wells come from? Kilkeel? he would need to keep his nose out of Rathryland. And another gentleman who was coming out of the bank here said he didn't want to get involved in politics, that he had stayed out of it all his life, and that he believed that Jim Wales was entitled to his views, but that his strong belief was that if you couldn't say anything nice, you shouldn't say anything at all. And just finally, one lady I spoke to, she said that she was very upset about what Jim Wales had said, because she said that the headline here at Rathryland should have been about the local primary school who was on Britain's Got Talent. And she said instead the shine had been taken off that good news story.
Okay, Nicola, thank you. Nicola's going to stay down there over the next hour or so and see if we can talk to more people in Rathryland this morning and get in reaction to this tweet, which has since been deleted by Jim Wales, though no indication whether Jim Wales has been forced against his will to delete that tweet, whether he's done so voluntarily, whether he's been asked to do it and agrees with deleting it or not. We do not know if Jim Wales from the DUP still stands over this tweet, which says, many complaints about Sinn Féin canvassing in Rathryland yesterday. They are not welcome in this unionist town, particularly on a Sunday. William in Armagh. Morning, William.
Hello, Stephen. How you doing? I was just thinking, there used to be a term, I don't know, still used, not in psychology or psychiatry, it was mental leakage. And I'm wondering, is Jim Wales sort of just leaking out the overall attitude and inner feelings of the DUP in generally, and that they really don't want, they don't like Irish, they don't like nationalist politics, and he's only sort of leaking this stuff out. It's also, I'm also reminded, Seamus Mallon was interviewed there on RT on Sunday, and Seamus Mallon was talking about the time he advocated for a woman to get a house in Market Hill, and he asked a unionist councillor who had the part allocating them this, and unionist councillor more or less said, hey, there's no Fenian sow and our piglet to get a house in this area. So I'm wondering, is that still sort of...
That's nothing to do with the DUP. It wouldn't have existed in those days, would it?
Oh, no, but I'm saying there's a deep down in the barrels. But the unionists, the DUP are representative of the broad unionist population.
Well, there's one thing there's one thing you can say about Jim Wales, William. He's outspoken. You know, he to be fair to him, we know what his views are on gay marriage. He threatened that the party would split if the DUP changed its stance on gay marriage. In fact, he said he would quit the party.
We
remember what he said about a risk of child abuse a couple of years ago when he was talking about same-sex marriage.
Yeah, okay, everybody can have their opinion. But it's also a protecting the rights of others too. Because I'm also mindful of the fact that whenever Mr. Paisley blocked the streets in Armagh against the civil rights organisation, and also whenever the DUP or their supporters, the MDS called the PhD, stoned the young students in Burntollet. So, like, I thought we'd left all that stuff behind. I brought up young children now, and they definitely...
What's your message to Jim Wales this morning?
I'd say you need to be very careful. You're a leader of your community. If you say you're a Democrat and a true Democrat, which you seem to talk about all the time, I think you should be very careful. And you should, the Democrat is to tolerate people's differences and opinions. People do move on. The DUP have moved on from the days of having sticks and Mr. Paisley blocking civil rights marches. They've moved on. He moved on to be a friend of Martin McGuinness. It's a time Jim Wales sort of made a few strides in that direction.
William, thank you. Jimmy and Kelly Lay. Right. Morning, Jimmy.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
I just think, like that gentleman just said there, this is a man who is leading his community. And I think he has a responsibility to say the right thing and moving forward. And I think even saying things like this, it goes along with like the crocodile comment from Arlene. And
you think this could be another crocodile comment, do you?
I don't think it'll get as much, there'll not be as big a storm kicked up about it, but I do think it's off that ilk. I just don't think it's responsible. And I think it's ruining the unionist message. That's coming from a unionist. I'm disgusted from what he said. And it shouldn't be said.
Why?
Because it's irresponsible. It's saying people shouldn't be allowed to go and canvass in a certain area because it's a so-called unionist town, when it's in fact a mixed area. I live in a mixed area. Sinn Féin are more than welcome to canvass in my area.